League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. We're talking to Mike Chappell, legendary sports writer from Indianapolis, and he does all kinds of stuff with the TV stations down there, Fox 59, CBS 4, still writes, still covers the Colts, has covered Indiana basketball, you name it. High school basketball in the state of Indiana is unequaled anywhere in the country. I don't care what anybody says. It's the greatest thing ever. Do you still find yourself going to those games? Like, you know, I grew up as a kid in Valparaiso up in Northwest Indiana. And then I moved to Pittsburgh as a young kid and ended up experiencing a lot of Steelers success. And I became a hockey fan with Mario Lemieux and all the rest. But my heart belonged in Indiana and I wanted to be around Knight. And I went to IU, and I have to tell you, just, he taught me so much about the game, like the mental part of the game. And I played my whole life. To this day, I play 7 days a week. I play competitively. I love it. And I've never learned more about the game from anyone in my life. I've been around every coach. I know a ton of coaches. I know every coach has been on my show, all of them. And I still think he's the smartest guy I've ever been around when it came to basketball. Do you still go to high school games in the state? And he's back in Bloomington again, living in the final years of his life, which I think is really special and cool after the fight he had with him for 30 years. What is it like for you now? Do you still go to the games and stuff like that?
No, following. I mean, the Colts really, the NFL does a good job of keeping us busy. Basically, you know, 11 months a year. But what I was fortunate, and you talked about, you know, early on, when I was the sports editor in Anderson, which again was a pipeline to IU, it was single class basketball, and that's why it was just so special. And they had, you know, we had three high schools at Anderson, and we could have 15,000 people at three games. At Anderson, they'd have 9,000 people regularly. And the IU, it was IU. It was whatever was going on in the state. IU was number one, probably even among ahead of the Pacers when they were going full guns and with the ABA and going to the NBA. So IU just sort of dominated. Now that's kind of waned over the last whatever because they've been up and down and changing coaches and they can't get it right. But the Bob Knight years were just amazing. The level of expectations where, you know, Sweet 16 was sort of you just sort of expected that. And then to make the Final Fours and to win it. And again, I was fortunate in Anderson. I went to Philadelphia for the two national titles at the Spectrum. Right. Right. And it was just different. It was just kind of great. And then Purdue, Notre Dame were always good too, but IU was the center of the universe. And you mentioned Bob Knight being back in Bloomington. It is kind of good to see him back there. I hope most of the people who had axe to grind, and again for good reason. I'm not going to gloss over the way he treated people or whatever.
Sure,
but I would hope at this point in his life, people could just sort of get past that and sort of embrace him for all that he meant back when he meant that.
I agree. I agree with you. We welcome our radio affiliate SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California, Sports Map Radio in Houston, Sports Byline in San Francisco, and Armed Forces Radio all over the globe. We're talking to Mike Chappell, legendary Hall of Fame sports writer from Indianapolis. So respectfully, just in this segment, I have about 90 seconds left. And then I do want to do, if you are still able to hang with me, talk about the Colts a little bit more, because it's just awful, sure. This clock I got to follow. But I have to say,
that's all right.
I have to say that Wentz is what an enigma that they have him, because I think that he's got talent. And I do believe that Frank Reich was the guy that brought it out of him, in my opinion, in Philly. I thought he was the best thing that happened to him, and his best moments right. were because of Frank. So I think Frank believes in him enough that's why this whole thing with Ballard and Reich got him to Indianapolis. Now, he's been there. He breaks a bone in his foot. Then they start telling us he's had it since high school. I don't care about all that. All I know is they operated on his foot. And he's going to, be better for it now that it's done. I think it happened at the right time. People got all worked up about it. But the reality is I'd rather have him do it at training camp and have the surgery. Same with Nelson. And now he looked good last week running around the field. And I think that now he's on this COVID list. He doesn't have COVID. You told me the whole thing. I think he's going to go against Seattle. And I think this year is going to be a huge harbinger for whether or not this guy is going to make it in the NFL, because they put it all on his shoulders, and he's already been tabbed a failure in Philadelphia. They turned on that guy like nobody's business in Philly and ran him out of there. And you can't tell me he wasn't miserable there in the end. And now he's got a fresh start in Indianapolis. So when we come back, I want you to tell me what you think is going to happen with this kid and his future with Reich, with the Colts. We're talking to Mike Chappell about the Colts on a bench.
We're different.
We're no ordinary sports talk network. Not only do we have a roster of world-class experts, but they tell you gaming strategies to help you win. Any simpler and we'd have to hold your hand.
And nobody wants that.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So we're talking to Mike Chappell, and the greatest writer in Indiana sports ever. Bottom line, I remember him from Bloomington. I used to see the guy going at it with Bob Knight back in the day when I was a kid, and I was in diapers covering Bob Knight. And believe me, I knew not to open my mouth in that room, because all hell would be paid for months on end. That guy was crazy. So some kid asking him a question wasn't happening. But I have to ask you about Wentz. Do you believe in him? And it's got to be from you that I hear it, because you covered Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. I mean, this is like how do you live up to those type of shoes? I mean, this kid, he's playing in a place where people are spoiled.
And see, but that's the thing. They don't need him to be Manning or Luck. They just need him to be a notch better than Phillip Rivers last year. And I don't know. I mean, we had very little exposure to him during the OTAs because of the change. And then we saw him just a snapshot in training camp, and what we saw was pretty good. But you don't know. He's got the history of injuries. And, you know, you did mention something. They're investing their future right now in Carson Wentz. They give up a third this year and a potentially a first next year, and they're taking on there's two guaranteed. He's got 4 years left. I think two of them are guaranteed. So, this is not a short-term fix in their mind. This is their quarterback for the next 6 or 8 years. But then he's got to prove worthy of it. And if it doesn't work, I don't know where they go, because they're not going to be in position draft-wise to get a guy. And you don't want to be going every other year trying to find a free agent quarterback. I mean, that just paralyzes your franchise. So this has to work for a lot of reasons. And I do agree with you that, if not here with Reich, where? You've got a very strong offensive line. You've got a top 10 running game. You've got a defense that's getting better and better. And they don't need him to be Andrew Luck and win games on his own. I mean, they were 11-5 in Luck's rookie season, and they weren't that good. They just weren't. And there were years that Peyton Manning carried the team. They don't need that from Wentz, and maybe that's what got him into trouble all out last year, trying to play Superman. But do your job. Make 6, 8, 10 plays that a quarterback has to make, and let the rest of the team, you know, do its job. And can he do that? I don't know. Because, again, we just haven't seen it. And everybody's memory of Carson Wentz is last year. But he was awful. He was absolutely awful for a lot of reasons, and some of them were his. So until he gets out there for a month, 2 months, and does his job, and he's not throwing the ball to the wrong guys and all that, there will be questions until he proves otherwise.
He had to – obviously, Frank had to convince Ballard to do this deal. What has your experience been like where, you know, Ballard gets high grades and high praise from people in league circles like nobody's business? I mean, where I come from, he's, you know, basically – you know, if you were to rank him, he'd be top five in the league with his reputation.
Right.
What's your experience been like around him? And what do you think it took Frank to convince Chris to do this big deal?
Yeah, and I'm sure that Frank really had a heavy voice in this. He did last year with Philip Rivers. And again, he had history with the Chargers and Philip Rivers, and he was convinced. Remember, Rivers was coming off an awful year, too. A lot of turnovers and no playoffs, and he played pretty well last year. I mean, he certainly equaled expectations. So this is one where I, you know, Chris Ballard, and he sort of has the final say, but I think the value of Chris Ballard is that he listens to people around him. He doesn't want yes people around him. He wants hard advice and counsel, and I'm sure that if Chris had reservations, he probably said, listen, Frank, talk me out of this. Tell me why, you know, we should or shouldn't do it. And I'm sure he listened to him. And there wasn't a lot of options these guys had. You know, the Matthew Stafford thing really wasn't realistic because they weren't going to pay that much and they didn't have a quarterback to ship the way the Rams did. And they were drafting 21st, and who knows what you're going to have at 21, whether you can move up like the Bears did. To have gone into the draft without a veteran quarterback would have been dereliction of duty. So
right.
They had a chance to do this, and Frank believes they can resuscitate this guy's career. If they do, he's 28. He's been a playoff quarterback, a borderline MVP quarterback. So, again, they need him for a lot of reasons to be the answer.
Do you think that Jonathan Taylor – is going to keep getting better? I think he's a talented guy. And tell me about T.Y.'s neck, because when I start hearing about guys having neck problems,
yeah,
I got to tell you, in the NFL, I start getting real worried. when I got necks involved,
yeah.
Knees, Achilles, you know, count me out. A neck problem, it's the beginning of the end. What is the deal with Hilton, and do you buy Taylor getting better by the year?
I buy Taylor. I like the kid. He got better and better the last half of the year. The only running back that was better was Derrick Henry. He's the real deal. And, you know, we'll see how long they can ride this guy. Keep in mind, you know, this team has a history of great running backs with Edgerton and Harry Dickerson and on and on, Marshall Faulk. But with T.Y., it's just so hard to tell. They've admitted he's going to miss some games. They're still evaluating, getting opinions. But like you said, when you're talking a neck and a disc issue, you just don't know. And this is – we had a practice in the last practice, I think it was, in Westfield here in central Indiana. He went up for a pass and came down awkwardly and landed kind of on his back. And, right. And he was down for a while. And we're thinking, holy smokes. And then he finishes practice. And then 2 or 3 days later, they say he's got – you know, it flared up or whatever, and that's not when the injury happened. He had been bothered by it. But the fact that it happened and you've got that, you know, I guess you would hope certainly that there's no surgery involved, which I wouldn't think there is, because I said they don't think this is season ending. But he's 31, and he's missed a few games the last, you know, two or three years, but certainly more than he did over the first 6 years. And like you said, there are certain injuries that you sort of cringe at, and necks and disc issues, those are the ones that just give you pause, because they can be season-ending, if not worse.
Yeah, respectfully, I got about just under 90 seconds. How do you think Tom Allen's going to do with the Hoosiers this year with the lofty expectations?
I like it. I hope the guy, he's a great guy, great for the university. And they've been a tease in football. They show you something, and they play really well against somebody that they shouldn't beat, and they don't. And then they play down to competition. The state of Indiana is just really waiting for IU to take off. I heard Don Fisher talking today, and he thinks this is one of the best teams they've had, top to bottom. I trust Fish. So I hope they do well, because I know their fan base has been really aching to have successful seasons. You know, stack them one after another.
You know, the guy that put me on the air for the first time ever in my career was Joe Smith. Did you know him down there?
Only in passing, right?
Yeah, he was a radio guy in Bloomington. Good friends with Fisher, right? And Kurt Klingelhofer, was that his name?
Right.
Anyway, it's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure having you on, Mike. I'm thrilled to have you on the show. We got to get you on the TV show. We do it at 4 to 6 in the afternoon Eastern. We'll get you on during the season, see how the Colts are shaping up. Thanks for coming on the bench so much tonight for so long. I was fascinated talking to you, and a big fan of your work. Thanks, pal.
Stay in contact.
My man, Mike Chapp, a legend in Indiana. Great sports writer. What a guy on the bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
Ohtani just hit his 42nd home run, a absolute moonshot to right. I mean, this guy just took this ball all the way out. I mean, boom. I mean, he hit this ball a ton. It went so far, I don't even know where it landed. And it's 6-5 Angels. And how about this? He hit it off his old teammate, Andrew Heaney, who... I know he's had one good start for the Yankees, but I am not a fan of Andrew Heaney. I mean, he's going to have to earn it for me, because I always thought he sucked with the Angels, let alone with the Yankees. But man, did he hit a moonshot. This thing was sky high. Your boy Ohtani getting involved, and the fans go crazy for this guy, obviously. But he hit the shot. And I got to tell you how they got this lead. It's the craziest thing. The Yankees led 2-0. But then in the fourth, Adele, the singer, singled to left. Gosselin scored. Mayfield homered to left with Adele and Stassi on. Made it 5-2. Then LeMahieu in the fifth, single to right. Gardner scored 5-3. Judge reaches on an infield single. LeMahieu scores 5-4. Rizzo went to third. Then Stanton singled in Rizzo. And it was 5-5, then Ohtani, 431 feet to right. And now Walsh is up with his 24 home runs. So Haney's thrown 9 pitches, one of them a moonshot from Ohtani, number 42. By the way, Troy Glass owns the record for Angels all time with 47 home runs. Your boy Ohtani is 5 away from that, and he's projected to hit 51 home runs. But, you know, people are saying he's hitting 9 more home runs for the month of August. 9 home runs in 30. They play 3 days in October. So you're talking about 33 days of baseball. Do you think, Mafia, that he can hit? I think he can hit more than 9 home runs. I really do. Like, they said he'll hit 51. I think the guy can hit 55.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the guy just doesn't stop, especially you see him get hit in the hand over the weekend. So, okay, he can't start tomorrow pitching, but you know what? He can still hit and look, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't seem his hand's not bothering him too much tonight, right? His that blast out there, the guy just doesn't stop. He's been all year. Doesn't matter whether he's pitching or just hitting. He still crushes the ball. And it's amazing that Troy Gloss is the one that holds a record with, you know, the time that Vladdy spent there at the end of his career, Jim Edmonds. You would think one of those guys maybe would have been over Troy Gloss.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? But I think that's 90 RBIs now for Ohtani. I'm doing this all off the top of my head. I've been, you know, obviously enamored with him all year watching this guy hit home runs. And I'm, you know, on the air late every night, so I watch these games. Strangely enough, you know the story. The audience may not, but I lived in Southern California for so long in Huntington Beach, and I used to go to Angel games all the time and just sit out there and drink beer and watch the Angels lose. But I never saw him do anything, right? I was there for all those Gloss years and Salmon years and Vladdy and all that. But this guy's you know, what he's done this year is better than all of them. And I actually don't believe, Mafia, that it's a, you know, one-year wonder. I really don't, you know, because, you know, I think last year or whatever, he was, you know, he didn't do any of this because he was injured and he didn't, you know, pitch and hit and have it all going or whatever. Let's say since he's been around. Last year he had the COVID. So since he's been around, he's never put it all together. But this year, he put it all together as a pitcher and as a home run hitter. And it really is truly amazing. Now, we've seen baseball for a long time. We've seen Bonds hit, you know, way more home runs. We've seen McGuire and Sosa hit way more home runs. And they were all juicing. So this guy, so far, nobody's got him for juicing or doing any cheating. He's just going out there. He's big, strong, fast wrists, talented, bat speed, has it all going. And boy, does he turn on pitches and golfs them out. And then he has nasty stuff as a pitcher. I mean, this is the stuff of Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth pitched and hit home runs. We have never seen this in our lifetime. This is long before any of us were on this earth that there was a pitcher that could hit home runs like this, that hit 5 times every day and still pitched every 5 days. Mafia, you have to admit, it's crazy.
It's absolutely insane. And this is what was promised when he came over from Japan. And then, you know, the first couple of years didn't work out because of, you know, first they were worried about throwing him out there doing both things because of the investment they made. And then he got hurt. So they're babying him coming back. And then this year they're letting him, you know, do it all. They're still protecting him, obviously, with not necessarily pitching him every time because, you know, the injuries that he's gotten here or there when he's got nicked up. But it's amazing to see. And you bring up Babe Ruth, and that's obviously the only one we could really compare it to. But even then, I mean, let's be honest, Babe Ruth played in the 20s. You did not have the best of everybody there in the 20s. It was an international game. You didn't have, you know, all these players from the Dominican Republic and from Panama, and, you know, all the, you know, Central Americas. You didn't have guys coming over from Japan, and you didn't have African Americans playing. So this guy was a fat slob that, you know, hit it off a bunch of old white guys, not the best in the world like Ohtani's doing right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And I've turned on the Dodger game to see what's going on. They're pounding the Atlanta Braves 5-0. And they're in the top of the fifth. Braves have runners on first and second. I just want to look at that game. I know Betts hit a home run. I think it's actually, believe it or not, Mookie Betts bobblehead night at the stadium. And he's hitting home runs. Muncy homered 405 feet to right. Smith homer to left, 383 feet. Betts homers to left, 378 feet. That short porch in left. And then Seager homered with Pollock on board. A two-run shot, 400 feet to left center. 5-0 and home runs for every run. Muncy solo, Smith, Betts solo, Seager a two-run shot, and Urias has a five-run lead that he's working on right now. I just saw Brendan Lau hit his 31st home run for the Rays tonight in their win over the Red Sox. Brendan Lau with 31 home runs. The guy's as big as my daughter. Can you believe this guy is hitting all these home runs? I watched him in the World Series last year. Am I crazy, Mafia? But he sucked. I mean, like, every time he came to the plate, he was an out. Automatic. Couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. He turns around this year. He's got 31 home runs. The guy's tiny. Can you believe the numbers he's putting up?
It's crazy, and that's something you didn't see, you know, in the 90s and 2000s until, you know, guys started juicing, obviously. And we're not saying that he's juicing necessarily, but you didn't see these smaller guys popping out of the park. You were, you know, these guys were slap hitters. They were average hitters. They were the guys that were setting the table for the big boppers. Now there's no more such thing as average hitters in baseball, you know, for the most part, except the guys in Cincinnati, you know, Winkler and Castellanos. Otherwise, everyone's swinging from the fences with their uppercut swings. So now they put them out of the park, too.
So the Padres are up 5-1 after five innings in Arizona. Tatis homered to left center, 444 feet, a mammoth shot to left center. Nola singled to right, and Myers scored. It was 3-0 in the second. Grisham reached on a bunt signal. Nola scored. Paddock to second. And then in the third, Frazier singled to right. Myers scored. It was 5-0. And the Diamondbacks scored on a wild pitch from Stammen. And it's San Diego 5-1. So they're going to gain ground on the Reds tonight if they can finish off the Diamondbacks. Going to the sixth inning, Padres will be at bat. The Brewers lead the Giants 2-0 in San Francisco. By the way, I think Cueto and Webb, I saw this tonight, Mafia. Cueto was scratched, and then Webb tomorrow is pitching. He's scratched too. And I think they both went on the IL. I could be wrong, but that is bad news for the Giants. The timing of it, you know what I mean? Like, so two of your best pitchers end up, you know, Cueto out, Wood test positive. So Cueto's got a cold. Wood is positive for COVID. So Wood's going to be 2 weeks. And then Cueto's got a cold, which I won't be surprised at all if by tomorrow afternoon they tell you he's got COVID. You know what I mean? Like, he has a cold. When I hear cold, I hear COVID. That's what I call that. A cold is COVID. Can you imagine now if you just got a cold and it wasn't anything more than a cold? Does that even happen anymore? Because now,
just a sneeze, like, you look like you have the plague now.
Oh, if you sneeze, you are just no longer welcome. I mean, you are casted into the river. They just throw you right out there. You're done. If anybody sneezes or coughs anywhere, like even at the gym, somebody will cough in the locker room. I'm running for the exits. I want nothing to do with it. It's Pharrell on the Bench.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go find a clover patch, get down on all fours, and find one with four leaves. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get any ticks.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so I was trying to convince Mafia that he needs to go on a 4-day bender to Vegas this week. I'm like, you know, Mafia, you've been working a lot. I mean, you got a lot of stress. There's it never ends. I mean, it's all day, every day, you know, 7 in the morning until 1 in the morning at least. It's just nonstop. Go, go, go. Produce. You know, direct. Do shows. People screaming and yelling at you, just, you know, married, a dog, a kid, just, it's obvious that Mafia needs an alcoholic bender 4-day, you know, weekend. And I was like, Look, if you go to Vegas, you check into Circa, you style, and you can, at the very least, you know, drink your face off, eat your face off, and sign up for Circa Millions 3 and Circa Survivor, the two greatest football contests on planet Earth. And then that's what piqued his interest. Because before he's like, you know, my wife will, she'll have a conniption if I just leave and go to Vegas for 4 days and just blow all kinds of money gambling and drinking and smoking and doing bad things with Pharrell. But he's like, you know, come to think of it, the Circa Millions 3 and the Circa Survivor, that might actually be worth it to me to end up losing my family over. Five picks against the spread each week in the Circa Millions 3. 1 point for correct, half point for push, three entries per person. That's $3,000 if you got three of them. $1 million top prize guaranteed, $4 million in total prizes, quarterly payouts, no rake, 100% of the money that goes into it goes to the players, not to the house. Circa Survivor, you can enter 6 times. That's $1,000 a pop. That'd be $6,000, $6 million total guaranteed payout, $1 million undefeated bonus prize. Choose a different team to win straight up each week. Cannot pick the same team twice. Ties and canceled games are losers. Thanksgiving and Christmas are each a contest week. 20 selections for the season. Entries for holiday weeks previously used will be eliminated. And then the undefeated bonus prize, week 18, you got to choose Kansas City or Tampa. If you've used them before, then you lose. So you shouldn't use them in the season because in week 18, you have to use one of them. And that's when you're being smart about it, right? Signups in Nevada at Circa Sports Counters, at Circa, Golden Gate, the D, Tuscany Suites, the Pass at Water Street Casino on their Circa mobile app, which is, I think now there's more mobile apps than there are cars on the roads. And then the Circa kiosk, there's more kiosks than there are people in Vegas for Circa. So it's easy to sign up in Vegas and then play from anywhere with a proxy. Sign up in Vegas, play anywhere. Circa Millions, Circa Survivor, 4-day bender, Mafia's all in, and you got to love that. I think it's just crucial.
Let's do it. I just had 5 weeks. My daughter, I dropped her off yesterday back with her mother. I need a break. I need a, you know, like you said, I need a binge. I need a recovery.
A recovery would be abusing your body for 4 days in Vegas would actually be therapy and recovery.
That is my therapy, yes. And then, of course, winning millions in the Circa Millions.
Did you hear about this high school team that lied to ESPN and played in a nationally televised game against IMG Academy and got whacked 58-0? Did you hear about it?
I did hear about it. You know, I don't watch those games ever when it's high school's on there. And I just saw, you know, in the stories that I get every day about how they spend most of the broadcast, like basically complaining that this team didn't deserve to be there. And then now the stories come out that it was all fake and that they got there, you know, and they bamboozled them. And that's awesome because I don't think these high school teams should be there anyway. So if you're going to put your, you might as well get your team on there, even if you don't belong, just to get your face out there for a little bit.
Well, listen, the whole team's filled with junior college dropouts. None of them were high school age. Their head coach has active arrest warrants out. They played 2 games in 3 days. And there is not even a school called Bishop Sycamore. There's not even.
How do you not do your research if you're ESPN and put them on?
How embarrassing is that?
Just Google search the school at least. Come on.
They don't even have a school. It's just a complete ruse. And they got taken to the woodshed in this lie. How absolutely insane is that? And then they went out and got just whacked. I just think that is the greatest thing ever. And now ESPN is saying they regret letting Bishop Sycamore play. They're still calling him Bishop Sycamore. There's not even it doesn't exist. How funny is that? That is crazy. So I also saw tonight that they're coming out with the, oh, God, they couldn't tie the game at 6-5 Angels, and now they got a one-out double in the bottom of the sixth. Anyway, they're coming out with a Dennis Rodman movie. The former NBA star's infamous trip to Las Vegas during the 97-98 season with the Bulls. They're making He's going to executive produce the movie on the trip to Vegas. Everyone talks about the Rodman segments were the most memorable of the Last Dance. And then they want more about the worm, so they're going to give it to him. Rodman is one of the executive producers for the upcoming 48 Hours in Vegas movie. That's what it's called, 48 Hours in Vegas, which is based on his trip to Vegas during the season when the Bulls won the championship. His off-court headlines, including the trip to Vegas, always stood out. Blah, 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 blah. Of course, a 7-time rebounding champ, 5-time NBA champ, 2-time defensive player of the year, 2-time All-NBA, 8-time All-Defensive honoree, and 2-time All-Star, a Hall of Famer. I mean, you know, a friend of mine, Mafia knows that's true. I actually have been friends with Dennis for a long time, and I partied with him a lot back in the day, I mean to tell you. But I have to tell you, I've never seen anyone ever in my life play defense and rebound like that dude. So you can think whatever you want about his wild hairdos and his wearing dresses and his behavior and his partying and his drinking and his drugging and whatever the hell else you want to say about him. You know, he's a horrible father, all the rest. He's been accused of everything, right? But I have to tell you, he was the best defender and rebounder I've ever seen. He blocked out like no one's business. He ate rebounds for lunch. He went after the ball. I've never seen a guy. Now, listen, I study the game of basketball and play it, as you know. That's all I care about. I love it. And I study the game. I know the game. I watch the game. I play the game. I train every day in a game. And I have never, and Mafia, as God is my witness, Mafia knows the truth. Like, I have, and Mafia is a big boy, 6'5", 240. And I'm a big boy. And I got to tell you, I've never seen anyone react to angles off of a, you know, missed shot. Like, the guy could actually see the trajectory of the ball and see it coming in this, in the air to the rim, and that it would kick off the rim or spin off the rim a certain way at an angle. And he knew where the end game was of that ricochet, right? Like, so the ball would hit the rim. Most guys just block out in the low block, and they hope to have the ball up in the air near their hand or fingertips to either pop the ball back up in the air and get it or to grab it altogether. Most guys just go up thinking that the, you know, the ball is going to kick it in the air and they're going to grab it. He actually saw it differently. He saw the ricochet angle end game. He knew where the ball was going to go when it was in the air. He knew exactly where balls bounced off of the rim, where they would end up. And he'd be the guy in that position, in that spot, every time getting the rebound. It was like magical. It was like nothing I had ever seen. And Mafia would agree with that, watching him rebound, that because Mafia gets a lot of rebounds. He knows how hard it is to read the trajectory of the ball and where it's going to ricochet. Mavi is just a 6'5 lug who goes in there and he's bigger than everybody and he gets the rebound. And he's played against guys 6'8, 6'7, 6'6 that get rebounds physically. He even played against a guy that was 5'11 that was the best rebounder I guarantee you he's ever seen in our boy Foz. That guy was a state champion wrestler and he had a strong upper body and strong hips and legs. And he would just blast your ass out of there with a block out and get the rebound, or the way he jumped for a little guy with those strong hips was like nothing you'd ever seen, Mafia. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to the trajectory with Rodman and watching a little guy like Foz rebound. And then you went up against guys like Coco and others that are 6'8", blah, 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 260 that could rebound. But I've never seen anyone read angles like Rodman.
No, he was insane the way he would do that, especially because it's not like he was one of these giant guys. There were guys all over the league that are bigger than him. He was 6'7". You know, he was in between, you know, Michael and Scotty. He wasn't the biggest guy even on that team, let alone in the NBA, but he just knew how to read it. Like you said, where the ball was going to go, how it was going to come off, and position his body perfectly to keep the other guys off the glass and, you know, set him up to get it. I'm a little iffy on this movie, Scott, though, because I feel like we all love this story, and it's a story of legend. And I think it's a story of legend because we don't know what happened. I think this is one of those situations, even if it was a crazy story, because it's Dennis Rodman. He was hanging out with Carmen Electra partying, so it probably was a nutso story. I still feel like once we find out what's going to happen, like in our imagination, we're making it bigger than it probably is. And then when we find out what they actually did, we're going to be like, oh, that's it? Oh, okay, whatever. Like, I feel it's going to be a complete letdown with this movie because we've built it up so much, legendary status of him going out and partying in the middle of the season.
I think actually the better story for the movie would be when I was at his house in Newport Beach and it got raided by the police and I ran naked up the beach and escaped the popo and got picked up on the PCH highway in a Jeep Cherokee and driven home naked to my driveway, stark raving naked from Dennis's house. That was a way better story than I'm sure the lame alcoholic bender stories he's going to tell in this movie. Although I'm happy story for Dennis that he's going to make money because he loves to make money. And ever since he's, let's face it, stopped playing and stopped being the center of attention, he ain't got no money.
And if Dennis makes money, Vegas makes money.
Everybody's happy if Dennis makes money. But I mean, when that guy was at the height of his celebrity, I mean, he drank like you have no effing idea how much that dude drank. I mean, because I could drink, and that guy and I would literally drink an entire bar till there was no booze left.
And his antics were legendary before TMZ, before camera phones and social media. Imagine if this guy was playing today, what it would be like, the things that we'd find out of him doing.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? He'd be in jail. He'd be in jail. I mean, he was insane. Like, I used to party with him, and I don't remember ever drinking. I've drank with a lot of famous people and a lot of athletes. I've never drank with anybody like him. You know, he needs to admit it, too, because we drank like champions.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada. So if he hears you crystal clear, I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
I got to be quick because I got to tell a funny story about Mafia. So Angels 7-5 on the Yankees in the 7. Nobody out. Yankees up. Rizzo at the plate. Braves down 5-6 to the Dodgers. Top 6. Padres up 5-1 after 6 in Arizona. Brewers lead the Giants 2-0. Middle of the 7th in Oracle in the Bay. And the Astros lead the Mariners 2-1 after 5 innings in Seattle. All right. Those are all the games that are going on. If you need finals, go look for them. You're good. I've already given them to you 7 times. So get a hold of yourself. All right. Here's the funny story. Mafia, I already told you he wants to go on a bender in Vegas, but he just said to me right now, before we went on the air, he says, I said, you know, hey, the owner of the Saints donated $1 million to the Hurricane Ida relief, the Benson family. Very nice of him. And then Mafia's like, that's great, but what are they going to do for us Wednesday and Thursday when we get 10 inches of rain in New York City? Have you ever seen anything like Mafia said to me that every hurricane that lands in this country, no matter where it is, it doesn't matter where it hits, Miami, Gulf Coast, Tampa, Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, it doesn't matter where it lands. It always ends up in New York City. We get everyone's toilet water. So whatever hurricane you went through, 150 miles an hour down there, Godspeed, God rest your souls, everything you've had to go through. Just know, we get the toilet flush at the end. We get the 10 inches that's going to hit us Wednesday and Thursday. Mafia said, get me out of here. I want to go to Vegas. I'm like, Circa Millions, Circa Survivor. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on Coast to Coast. Good night, everybody.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.